Psychologists agree that some people treat their dogs better than they treat fellow human beings. In spite of widely publicized classes and courses on winning friends, there's a continuing decline in the warmth of human relations. I'll be back in a moment with an age-old secret of gaining personal power. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, one of the most interesting clubs I ever saw in operation was called the Bicoda Club. And those words or letters actually stand for Be Ye Kind One to Another. Now, the members of that club were required to do a kind deed for somebody every day. I think one of the greatest inconsistencies of Christians is to emphasize some commandments and overlook or minimize others that are just as important. Now, the text in Ephesians 4:22 says, And be ye kind one to another. Now, that's a command of God which cannot and must not be neglected by Christians. Now, friends, if this commandment were obeyed, I believe domestic problems would practically disappear. I suppose 90% of the petty church problems would also be overcome immediately. I think we'd be surprised to know just how many troubles are rooted in the tongue uncontrolled. Undoubtedly, the tongue is one of the most destructive members of the body. It's easy to talk about kindness, but it's more difficult to practice it. And nothing in the Bible is more difficult to obey than the Sermon on the Mount. You see, love lies at the root of all the commandments that Jesus gave in that sermon. What do we know about these words, friends? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. What practical experience do you have in turning the other cheek and going that second mile? I tell you today, God's power will be seen in an experience that produces kind people. A part of the secret of Christ's ministry was in His power to love everybody and to be kind to everybody. There were no barriers with Him of race, color, or religion. He won the hearts of everybody with His sympathetic, loving attitude. And nothing is so irresistible as a spirit of love working through kindness, silently, like nature, piling up snowfields through tiny snowflakes, one after another, until mighty streamlined trains are made helpless. And so the simple deeds that we do every day can generate tremendous power. In the early days of the Salvation Army, General Booth was leading a group of singers on an English street corner. Now, in those days, by the way, it was a very unpopular cause, the Salvation Army. And General Booth picked one of the worst towns on the most disreputable street on that night that I'm going to tell you about right now. He was out there singing with this little group of people. And he stopped with his little band in front of an English pub filled with half-drunk revelers. As they sang the old Christian hymn, There is a fountain filled with blood, one of the drunks came staggering out the door and with an oath threw a bottle at General Booth. It struck him on the head and stunned him for a moment. But after wiping the blood away, General Booth came forward and gripped that man's hand and said, God bless you and forgive you, brother. Well, the years went by. The general had come back to that town to dedicate a new citadel of the Salvation Army. As he addressed the huge crowd at the downtown citadel, General Booth compared those early days of unpopularity with the present-day accomplishments. He told the story of that beer bottle, and while he was telling the story, an old man made his way down the aisle and came up to stand beside the general. As General Booth turned to him, the old man said, I want you to shake the hand that threw that bottle. And then he threw open his overcoat to reveal the flaming red jersey of a Salvation Army's captain uniform. And he said, I could never forget the words you spoke to me that night after I threw that bottle, when you came up and gripped my hand. It led me finally to give my heart to Christ. Well, friends, it's hard to be kind and refuse to retaliate, no doubt about it. But a kind, courteous Christian is the most powerful argument that can be produced in favor of Christianity. It's more powerful than literature, churches, schools, hospitals, and all the rest of it. People want to be loved. They're willing to respond to love. Years ago, a little man and his wife walked into a hotel office to look for a room to spend the night. The clerk on duty said that there were no rooms available, and so the man and his wife turned away in disappointment. The wife was sick, the man had explained that, and they really did need a place to spend that night and to rest for the night. But as they were walking out the front door, the clerk called after them to come back a moment. And he said, listen, it's already late, and I'll just let you folks have my room tonight. I'll just sleep here in the lobby on one of these large chairs. Well, the couple received it gratefully, of course, and went to their rest. But early the next morning, the telephone rang, and the owner of the hotel answered the phone. And a man said, listen, I spent the night here last night, my wife and I, and I want you to tell me who was on duty at the desk. Well, the owner said his name was George Bolt. He's one of our clerks. And this little man said, listen, I'm going to build the biggest hotel in the world, and I want that man to be the manager of that hotel. I've been looking for years for somebody who could be kind to strangers. Yes, my friends, that man was John Jacob Astor, and he actually did build that hotel in New York City, and George Bolt was a manager of it for over 40 years. Now, I'm not telling you that riches and prosperity will come always to you by being kind, but I do say that great happiness will always result. To govern oneself is the greatest task we could possibly face. To learn to keep silent and exercise self-control is the great acid test of Christianity. The tongue is evil and malicious in itself. Hatred, misjudging, criticizing are all easy to indulge in. The Bible rule is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, how many times we meet people who refuse to forgive others? Husbands will not forgive their wives. Wives will not forgive their husbands. But be assured, my friends, that we cannot be saved until we're willing to forgive. Christ taught men to be kind to their enemies and to do good to the ones who actually mistreated them. The story is told of a Greek philosopher by the name of Archelaus of Macedon. One day this man was walking with a friend down the street. An enemy suddenly dumped a bucket of water over his head from a window up above as they walked along on that street. But Archelaus didn't even pause. He didn't even look up to see where the water came from. He just brushed it off and continued to walk and talk to his friend as he strolled along. Well, the friend was astonished, of course, and he said, listen, aren't you going to do anything about that? The man threw water all over you. Archelaus answered and said, oh, no, he didn't throw any water on me. He threw it on the man he thought I was. Now, friends, that's a tremendous Christian philosophy for anybody, isn't it? Would that every one of us would be able to accept that. That's the way Jesus felt, no doubt, as the blows rained down on him at the cross of Calvary. He prayed for those people because they knew not what they were doing. They didn't know who they were beating. They didn't realize that they were crucifying the Son of God. In 2 Peter 1:4, we read about the Christian privilege of partaking of the divine nature. Now, what does it mean, friends, to partake of the divine nature? Listen, charity begins at home, doesn't it? Love begins at home. But have you ever seen a home without love, without charity? I tell you, it's the nearest thing to eternal torment that can be imagined on this earth. We've also seen homes like that that turned into places of peace and love when certain adjustments were made. We've seen one partner suddenly become calm, and then we've noticed how the other one also became quiet and calm as well. You know, it takes two to quarrel and fight, doesn't it? It takes two to perpetuate unkindness in a home also. A story comes from the Orient about a wife who hated her mother-in-law who had come to live with her. There was constant strain, bitterness, and enmity between these two people. Finally, that wife consulted an old priest of her pagan religion and said she just couldn't stand it any longer. She wanted to get rid of this mother-in-law. She asked for some powerful charm or medicine that might get rid of her mother-in-law. Because she hated her so. So she asked for poison so she could poison her mother-in-law. Well, the old priest gave her some white powder, and he said, you give her this every day for a week. Cook it in her rice cakes, and then give it very kindly to her so she'll not be suspicious. And have her eat these rice cakes every day for a week, and then come back and tell me what's happened. And the woman said she would do as she was told. And then she came back a week later in tears. And she says, oh, what can I do? I've been feeding those rice cakes to my mother-in-law, and she's become very, very sweet. Oh, she says, I don't want to see her die now. What can I do to stop this poison from killing her? Well, the old priest smiled, and he said, it's all right. I just gave you some white rice flour, and she won't die at all. So you see, friends, by being kind to others, that kindness is returned to us, and very, very soon we find the problems disappearing. It takes two to continue a quarrel or a fight. Years ago, an old couple were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. A reporter was sent out to cover the event, and in the course of the evening, this reporter drew the husband over to the side and asked him to tell the secret of his long and successful marriage. Well, the old man replied like this. He said, "Well, I was an orphan and worked hard most of my life. I never looked at a girl until I was grown, and Sarah was the first one I ever kept company with. After our wedding, her pa took me aside and handed me a package, and he said, 'Here's all you'll need to handle Sarah.' Well," the old man continued, "this is what I found in the package." And he pulled out a large gold watch from his pocket and opened the case of it. And across the face were these words right on the face of the watch: "Say something nice to Sarah." And so the old man said, "This has been a successful formula through the years for our happy Christian marriage. Say something nice to Sarah." Listen, husbands, that's the main thing. Did you know it? Wives, there's the real secret. Most marriages are lost by degrees. It's not some dramatic blow-up with desertion following. It's a slow, gradual accumulation of little dissatisfactions and irritations, until finally one or the other says, "I can't stand it any longer." And that's what breaks up marriages. So don't go to sleep at night until the disagreements have been settled. By kind things instead of needling things, your home can be made into a little sanctuary in this world. It can be a little heaven in which to go to heaven in. Are you a commandment keeper? If so, friends, remember this commandment. It's one of Jesus in the New Testament: "Be ye kind one to another." Bicoda, remember that word, will you? Make that a kind of watchword or password for you. Bicoda, be ye kind one to another, and let love reign supreme in your heart. I believe this is the real secret that we're looking for today in overcoming the frictions that obtain in so many homes today. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.